This is Luxury.
And Diallo,
the hosts of One Song. Shout out to U.S. Soy and the United Soybean Board for supporting this podcast and for giving our recording studio a sustainable makeover.
Just like music is made of notes and beats, each eco-friendly choice we make contributes a single note that completes the overall melody. That's why Heartbeat and U.S. Soy are teaming up to lead the discussion around greening Hollywood. We're talking slashing the carbon footprint of production with soy-based alternatives like soy-based inks for printing scripts, soy foam for soundproofing studios, and even biodiesel generators to power sets.
To see our podcast studio transformation, watch the Tears for Fears episode of One Song and see behind-the-scenes clips of how we pulled the whole look together. It's all on @HeartbeatAudio on YouTube, and the link is in our show notes.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
And now, join Kevin Hart as he dives into the minds of some of the world's funniest comedians. This is Comedy Gold Mines with Kevin Hart.
Welcome, world. Welcome to an all-new episode of Comedy Gold Mines, where we do what? Where we get into the minds of amazing comedic talent. That comedic talent can be writers, directors, producers, comedians. I mean, it could pretty much be anything. I love comedy, so I love to understand people who share the same passion, people who love the same thing. And more importantly, you know what I like to do? I like to just talk. I'm a fucking talker, man. Today's conversation will be great. You know why? Because I'm talking to an amazing piece of talent. Yes, I said it. Ladies and gentlemen, I will compare this guest to a rocket because that's how fast they seem to be going at the time. Career is exploding. Television, movies, all of the above. Truly taking the screen by storm. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Comedy Gold Mines, Nora Lum, a.k.a. Aquafina, a.k.a. The Rocket.
Yes, I like it. No, I'll take it. Hi. Hi, Kevin.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. How you doing?
I am good. For our listeners here, let me let you know where this relationship starts. We did a movie together.
Yes.
That's right. I had the pleasure of working with Nora. We did a film, a little small film called Jumanji. Jumanji the Next Level. And I had the pleasure of working with Nora and talking to Nora and getting a small level of understanding because we talked, but you know, it was never crazy in depth. You know, we asked each other questions about what are you doing next, what are your plans, but this is my opportunity to really get to talk to you in a way that I didn't then. I remember when the conversation of Jumanji came up and you were brought up and everybody went crazy. They were like, oh my God, we'd be so lucky to get her. This was after Crazy Rich Asians, and your role in Crazy Rich Asians was so dope. You presented yourself as a comic relief, but also as just a real force in that world of improv, spontaneity, just kind of knowing where to be, what to do, and what to say. I could tell that some stuff was written, some stuff wasn't, but that character in Crazy Rich Asians really popped. Really, really fucking popped, and I found synergy. I'm going to tell you how I found synergy here, Nora. I found synergy to myself and Think Like a Man. And my role in Think Like a Man was set up the same way. It was set up for me to pop. And if you pop correctly, things after follow. Did you know during Crazy Rich Asians that that role was possibly the role of a lifetime for you?
You know, I didn't, but I did know what I knew about how it felt, which I felt like comedically free. And I felt that I just had like the complete trust of like everyone around me that I was, you know, so like I knew that there were like liberties with it that like I really liked, you know, but in terms of it popping, I don't know. So you say you felt that.
I felt that.
Wow.
I felt that. During Think Like a Man, there was moments where we were on set. You just used a term called comedically free, right? Mm-hmm. And using that same phrase where I saw that I was able to do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Where the director and my cast, my co-stars, where they literally took a step back at times and was like, okay, this is where Kevin's gonna go.
Wow.
And it was kind of set up. And there was moments where I felt like I was knocking that ball out.
Yeah, for sure.
I felt it during. So the reason why I ask you that, because in watching Crazy Rich Asians, there's scenes where I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. It's everything that it's supposed to be. You're so good in those scenes. You're so good in the movie in general. And it's like, I just wanted to know if you had that moment of clarity while doing it, or was it after seeing it, were you shocked?
I mean, you have to also understand, I really did not act a lot before that movie, you know? So I honestly just was really surprised at, first of all, how close I felt with everybody, right? So I think that goes with it. But yeah, when I saw it, I just felt that, you know, yeah, it came, I enjoyed my parts in it for sure. But, you know, it's such a contrast against what everyone else is doing though, too. I feel like a lot of the heavy lifting is actually people that are like carrying the story. Whereas like, you know, my character kind of comes in very sporadic moments, you know? So that's also kind of cool to, you know, to also see people around me doing stuff.
You said that you didn't act a lot before that. How did this role come about?
You know, it was really weird. I got like a message, a Facebook message from this like Asian British actor friend that I knew. And he was like, I just got an open casting call for Crazy Rich Asians. You should audition for this. And I was like, I don't even know how I would audition. At that point, I'd never acted any of that. And then like 2 years later, I remember seeing the book in the airport. And I just remember being like, oh, it says Asians. And that's a, you know, at that time, it wasn't a lot of Asian stuff, you know, especially in Hudson News. But years later, I think like 2 years later, I met with John Chu and I auditioned for it.
And it's just, it's so random, by the way, how things just happen, right?
Like,
it's not planned. Not like you got a layout. There's a storyboard as to how things are going to work out. Something as random as a friend calling you for an open casting call leads to just you just having something on your mind that wasn't on your mind. And then boot blink, it pops up into your space and your thinking space. And before you know it, oh shit, this becomes your reality. By the way, that's the world and structure for most things surrounding comedic talent in general. It's very much a sporadic space of opportunity because it's never expected when things happen. And when they do is, holy shit, I can't believe.
Right.
What was your background that got you there? Tell my audience what your background was that got you to the place of even being considered for your friend to call you and say, yo, you should go out for this.
Well, the background for that situation was just, I randomly met a guy and that, you know, at that point I had music videos up.
That's what I want you to talk about. That.
Your
world of music and videos.
Yeah, I always had made music, and then, you know, I published a music video. I wrote it when I was like very young, like in my teens. And then I didn't actually publish it until like 24, something like that. It was just like, it was that world, but also then, you know, what next?
Okay.
And I never thought about acting as like a possibility ever. So, you know, with that, I think there's always a comedic sensibility to all of my music stuff. So, you know, that was the most important driving factor. And my music was never meant to be anything but, you know, just that, you know. So by that time, I had gotten a manager, and he was kind of like, well, let's, you know, let's maybe get you an audition. And but like the Crazy Rich Asians thing, I don't know. Yeah, it was. So at that point, like I was looking for maybe what's next, you know?
You have to educate yourself for my listeners, man. You got to educate yourself on Nora and just her music background. Like when she's talking about, she's being very modest right now. But
I can
say the attention that has been driven her way, it comes from the music videos that she's done. And there's a comedic tone to it all. But you really see a sense of charm. You see star. I'll be honest with you. You can see where the star-like cadence is basically seen and why the opportunities are now coming her way. You know, we're talking about Crazy Rich Asians being her first movie. We're talking about her stealing that movie from the comedic perspective. But then after that, multiple opportunities came after. I mean, goodness gracious, we're talking about Jumanji the Next Level. I mean, you are recently in the Marvel movie that's it's about to come out or is out. What's the name of it?
Shang-Chi, and it's coming out September 3rd.
What is this role?
This role girl is Shang-Chi's best friend. So she you know, is very much just of the normal world and kind of goes with him on this like really insane journey to kind of rediscover his past. And
how did you do that? How did you somehow land yourself in the world of Jumanji and then somehow jump over to Marvel? Do you even understand how massive that is? Are you aware of how crazy that is? Like, you got to pinch yourself right now.
But it's like, you know, these things, it's like you're so happy about them happening, but it's like the pinch me moments are also like, well, when's either shoe gonna drop, you know? Like, it's like, you know, it turns into more of a panicky pinch me moment than like a, you know, like this is when things are, you know. So I always have that embedded in me, but I'm trying to teach it out of me. But, you know, yeah, it was a massive transition. I think, like, I guess, how do you, I want to know how you, like, kind of negotiated with kind of all this and, like, when it started happening for you.
When it started happening? I mean, when I was in that position that you're in right now, it was a high level of excitement, first of all. You can't bypass the level of holy shit, right? Mm-hmm. There's a major amount of holy shit had. And I can relate to what you just said, which is, okay, there is holy shit, but then there's like, okay, wait, what the fuck is happening after this? This is happening, but wait, okay, now, when this drop, wait, I better get it. Wait, well, what next? I don't want to be out here with nothing else going on. I quickly understood and learned how to develop. I quickly understood the world of conversation and project and attachment.
Wow.
Right? Like, it was okay, I'm doing this and there's so much attention attached to my name, but I don't want to wait for something else to come up. What can I spark the conversation of or on? And I attached myself to a great producer. It was Will Packer at the time.
Oh yeah, I love
and,
yeah, Will
and
Packer.
Will Packer and myself, you know, we did a crazy run of about six to seven successful movies. But we stayed in that think tank. You know, it was the ride alongs. At the ride alongs, it was about last night. We did Think Like a Man. Wedding Ringer. Like, we kept looking for material that I could star in, that we could produce and develop. And we had a studio that was willing to ride that machine as well. So, you know, my advice to you, and, you know, I take away the word advice. Information, because advice means do it like I would do it. And I don't mean that at all. Mm-hmm. Information that I can give you is right now, you know, you even have, I know that there's a TV show that you have now. It's that's on Comedy Central, right? Nora from Queens.
Yeah, Nora from Queens, yeah.
And it's like, you know, that's more development that's attached to you as a star. I would say, from just an information perspective, find more ways to do that with film as well, especially in today's time, because the conversation of diversity is louder than it's ever been, right? It's so loud. And the opportunities that are now at hand are good, and they're good for good reasons, because, you know, I think studios are truly trying to make the efforts of following the lead of the conversation and making that change. And when there's a talent as strong as yourself that you can attach to real strong material, the only recipe is win. Like, right now, we're talking about you in a fucking Marvel movie at the beginning, Jumanji, and we're talking about other starring roles and guest starring roles. Like, you're very much a part of the comedy conversation, especially with women in entertainment right now. And I think that's so dope. It's so fucking dope.
Thank you, Kevin. No, thank you for that information, too, because, you know, I feel like that's ultimately where you want to go. Like, do you ever feel like I was an executive producer on my show, and that was like, there's a lot of stuff that like actors, it's not that they're not told, they're just not involved in it. You know, they come to work, they assume that work starts in the hair and makeup trailer. And then, you know, there's so many decisions and there's like so many people like involved in everything. It really makes you appreciate the process more. But there are some times where it's like, I do enjoy this, you know, like not even in a way where, you know, I just want to like do, you know, I genuinely want to be on the ground. I want to do it. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's the kind of person you are too.
Absolutely. I find so much excitement in ground zero.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And for like real.
Ground zero is dope to me because you truly get to see how this thing starts and how it how it finishes, right? Like starting, like when you say, all right, I'm in the beginning stages, Kevin, and I have such an appreciation because, you know, you're EPing on your show, right? And, you know, on this show that's developing, by the way, let's make sure we shout it out properly. We're talking about Nora from Queens, drops August 18th on Comedy Central.
Yes.
It's another product, another project that this amazing talent that I'm talking to today has had the opportunity of fucking developing, being a part of, and it's about to be on display for you all to see it. So make sure you lock that in, okay? As I'm talking, I want to make sure I throw that to
Thank
you.
Thank you.
But here's the beauty of it: there's jobs attached to it, right? There's yeah. opportunities for the people that work in craft services, transportation, yeah. your camera crew. You're talking right. about your other writers, your other actors, actresses. There's so many pieces to this puzzle that come together ultimately to make the right thing that was your vision, that started mm-hmm. off as your vision. Well, when you see all of the minds that come to the table.
That's what I'm saying. Like when all those people are working hard for like something that's for you.
It's the best.
You know what I mean? It's like a really warm feeling. I mean, another thing that I always saw you do also on Jumanji is like, every time you come to set, you bring with you like, just like morale. You know what I mean? Like you want to make sure you come to set like, and you acknowledge everyone and that everyone's kind of happy. That's like a big thing.
It's a priority. It's a priority. And
yeah.
you know, I think I find a significant amount of joy out of doing what I love. And I would love my level of happy to rub off as much as possible on those around me, because it doesn't have to be this way, right? Like right. our days can be long, brutal days, but if we got an attitude that matches that, well, then they're going to be longer.
Yeah, exactly.
When you come in and it's like, hey man, look at this. I remember there was a day when we were doing Jumanji. Remember they had built the town thing, whatever that was, right? And they had, was it camels or what did
oh,
they have?
Oh, you're talking about the, like, the marketplace.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I remember.
You did not like riding. Oh,
I did not like, whatever that fucking thing was, when I tell you.
It was a camel.
But the camel, my allergies were kicking my ass. The smell from this camel, the dust, I've never seen a dustier goddamn.
Wait, have you ridden a camel?
No, listen, that fucking camel was kicking my allergies ass. But I said, I'm not going to let this camel beat me. I'm not going to let it happen because it's such a fun scene. It's such a fun day. And I said, if my morale goes down, I said, I feel like everybody else's morale will go down. And I was like, this fucking camel.
Our morale went up as yours went down. Because also camels lean too.
That fucking so camel, the camel, man. Yo, you guys were having such a good time. Oh, I was miserable on that camel. I couldn't stand that fucking camel. But it was truly, for me, it was truly about understanding the amazing environment that we created. Yeah. Like all this shit was built. We had this world. And I was like, there is no room for error, man. And I remember looking at Jake, our director, mm-hmm. and seeing Jake, I knew how long his days was and how much was on his mind.
Right.
And I was also trying to take a lot off of his plate, making sure like the last thing he had to worry about was us, the actors, the actresses, like us and our attitude. So that's something that I think about honestly on a day to day. I think about the whole team, the whole crew,
yeah.
and what mindset we all can have that can just ultimately help our project become better.
Yeah.
It's a thought, a good feeling.
No, for sure. I mean, I noticed that from Jumanji, from you, and I always want to do that too.
This is Luxury.
And Diallo,
the hosts of One Song. Shout out to U.S. Soy and the United Soybean Board for supporting this podcast and for giving our recording studio a sustainable makeover.
Just like music is made of notes and beats, each eco-friendly choice we make contributes a single note that completes the overall melody. That's why Heartbeat and U.S. Soy are teaming up to lead the discussion around greening Hollywood. We're talking slashing the carbon footprint of production with soy-based alternatives like soy-based inks for printing scripts, soy foam for soundproofing studios, and even biodiesel generators to power sets.
To see our podcast studio transformation, watch the Tears for Fears episode of One Song and see behind-the-scenes clips of how we pulled the whole look together. It's all on @HeartbeatAudio on YouTube, and the link is in our show notes.
Tom.
time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Where are you at music-wise now? What are you doing with your music? Like, now that you're, you know, the schedule is becoming busier, you know, you're doing more. Are you still in the lab? Are you still focused on doing a certain amount of it, or has the time that you can allot to it changed a little?
I mean, I think it's just that music is like my love. Mm-hmm. It's therapeutic for me. It's something that I have to learn and like get better at every day. Mm-hmm. And I make music all the time. Like when I come over from Jumanji, like I would go to the Guitar Center in Atlanta. I just get all my little machines, and every night that's how, you know, I kind of turn down. And so
I love
it. Yeah, so like I'm always doing it, but it's like, you know how demanding these projects are, you know?
Absolutely.
You have to put, when you make an album or you start a new project, you have to be in this, you could be sleeping in the studio kind of thing. So it's like, I have so much stuff, and it's like, however, I do know that with the movie stuff, I don't really have a choice, really. I have a choice, but it's going to come to me when it comes to me. Mm. And when it's over, it's over, right? I can't force people to like want to watch me, but I'm always going to work on music. I'm not releasing it, but like making it. Yeah.
I love it. Give me some goals. Like what else is it that you want from the business? You know, I mean, right now you're actively in it. And now that you are seeing more, understanding more, has your goals changed? Has your wants from your career changed?
Yeah. I think definitely. It's weird because it's like when you begin this, you really don't know kind of what you're looking for. You don't know what fame really means. You don't really know, you know, what all the other trappings of it, right? But mm-hmm. but I think for me, I've gotten to a place in the last maybe 2 or 3 years that it's like I'm focusing more inward, and a lot of things from like my childhood have popped up that make me mm-hmm. realize that like at the end of the day, I'm gonna be stuck with myself. You know, mm-hmm. my legacy or anything that I do or anything I leave behind, that's going to have been, but like, I'm going to have myself. So if in here is like chaotic and there's no like baseline foundation, you know, security, any of that. And security now, it doesn't mean like a 401k. For me, security is like, will I be a sane person? And I feel like I'm trying to search for that right now, like some kind of peace, right? So like a medium where like, the other shoe, you don't feel like the other shoe will drop, you know? I don't really know what that is, but I'm just mining away at it because I just know that that's what's going to be important later.
How did you come to that though? For you to start to adapt that level of thinking now, what was the trigger? What is it that made you say, you know what, right now, what's most important to me is truly understanding me, my mind, mm-hmm. and valuing my sanity, you
right.
know, my level of sane. Do you feel at one moment that it started to sway the other way? Do you feel like you kind of got lost for a second for you to prioritize it at the way that you're doing?
Yeah, no, I feel like I was working for 2 years. I was on the road. I moved from New York to LA. I hadn't seen my grandma in months because I was like in other countries. And I think within that, it's like, there's like its own internal clock, right? Where it feels like it's going by so fast, but then, you know, a year passes by mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, we were doing this a year ago. I hadn't seen my family. And I didn't really in my dreams, like, my dreams turned into this one location of this airport, casino, mall, hotel, like this giant structure of all those things. Mm-hmm. Right. So, and I'm always trying to get from one end to the other to make a flight. I didn't have like a sense of home in my dreams, you know? And I began to like kind of search for it. And I don't know. It's just like, I feel like there were other things in my life that I realized, you know, I hadn't thought about, you know?
Absolutely. But I think that's all with growth though. Nora, you know, first of all, you're human, and you know, none of us have it figured out. None of us figure it out instantly. And you know, as I said time and time again on this podcast and talking to so many friends, the craziest thing is that there's no handbook.
Right.
There's no handbook with
literally no handbook, and literally you can't Google your problems that are going to, like, you could Google it at work, like, my, like this, I got this, you know, like, what do I do? You know, but we can't Google that.
There is no lesson given to you on how to deal with suddenly, with the sudden benefit of fame, success, and money, right? There's no handbook. There's no lecture. There's no class. So as you get it, the discovery of self is one that you have to be willing to open yourself up to.
And honestly, it's the hardest work you're going to do.
Absolutely.
Is what I'm finding, but the most rewarding.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. I mean, as a family guy, you know, I can say, like, I love my wife and my kids and our household more than anything in the world. But there was a moment where I did have to learn how to value that at the highest level, because you can say and think that you're doing it, but your actions may not match.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Right? Like, you can say it and you can think that you're doing it, but it's not till something happens or that you get a certain level of visibility,
right,
into a different look at life that you go, "Oh shit, I could be doing more here."
Right.
I'm not giving enough here.
Right.
And I think, you know, in listening to what you're saying, I hear you saying, you know, I want to make sure that I'm conscious of self and your mind. And there's something that's very special about that. It's special about you realizing that now as your rocket is really fucking bubbling to continue to go. And I think when you find those different stages of priority or prioritization. Yeah. I struggle with some of those big words sometimes, but you get what I'm trying to say.
Yes, I do.
Prioritization. I know how to fucking spell it. I just can't say it correctly. But as you're now talking about that, I think that's what's important, because you'll make sure that through the projects and through the workload that you carve out the time for you, for your family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For the things that you saw yourself miss at one point.
Mm-hmm.
That's special.
Yeah.
That's big. How does your family feel about your success?
They love it.
What are we talking about when we say family?
I'm an only child. I was raised by my grandma and my dad. My mom passed when I was really young. So it's my grandma who's like always been my number one supporter. Like, you know, when I wanted to take singing lessons, she would, you know, drive me into Ridgewood and give me singing lessons and stuff. But my dad was like, no. He wanted me to be an air traffic controller, like it just specifically that.
How specific is that? Jesus Christ!
U.S. World
News. It's so specific.
I think it's a good career, man. I think he maybe knew a guy.
Oh my God!
That could get me through the side door, if you will. Which
he's got a hookup. Who has a hookup in air traffic control?
Yeah,
this is what I'm telling you. This is it right here. Trust me, that's pretty special.
And then he signed me up for like all of these like kind of like the government jobs listings that they send out. I still get them. So, you know, I think he's happy now. And then it quickly turned from like, "Hey man, you got to get a real job." It quickly turned from that to him like planning my tours and stuff.
Yeah. I can help
like,
now.
You know,
I got
and
you.
Then and now him being like, "Hey, no, I gotta renovate my house." you know, I thought,
yeah.
And then like you know, playing coy and stuff.
Yeah, you I mean there's nothing funnier than the need of those closest to you. You know, as your success grows, the needs of the ones closest to you change. It's weird. It's very weird. I remember the time like when I saw the transition from my friends when we were going out to eat, when the orders started to change to steak. I was like, when did y'all start eating fucking steak? When I've been around y'all for fucking years.
They started with two starters.
Literally.
And all of a sudden, I'll do the Wagyu. Yeah. Is the Wagyu good?
It started with peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Now you're asking about how do you guys fillet the steak? Can y'all do that for me? Peppercorn at the top. When the fuck did you start ordering goddamn peppercorn on your goddamn steak? You ain't never did that. What the fuck is happening? It was a very quick transition. Oh, into mac and cheese, shrimp double mac and cheese with the soft crab.
That come with three sides?
Oh, my God. To-go boxes? Yeah, my mom. I'm going to let her get some of that. Your mom? The fuck you mean your mom? She ain't here with us? Yeah, I'm going to let mom get some of this. That mom eats some of this. I saw it. I saw the fucking transition. I know exactly what you're talking about. But it's good though. It's good to see that now they're happy and supportive. And like anybody, there's doubt in the beginning. There's always doubt in the beginning because you're outside the box. You're part of a very small group of people called dreamers, and us dreamers see things that nobody else can see, which is a strong belief in ourselves and what we think we can do. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very hard for people to see that don't have that.
Do you think that dreamers are different than other kinds of people? Because we do have a strong belief in self, but at the same time, we're very sensitive to like our outside environment as well. Cause I feel like there are people that have a strong belief in self, but they don't actually change.
Yes.
Or it just like drops off.
I like that you said sensitive to your environment as well, because that has to be, it's true. Right? Like you, to have a dream is one thing, but I can say to not be aware while being on the road to that dream is another. And the one thing that you have to be oblivious to is doubt, right? While you're trying to execute on you. You have the doubt. Doubt is the biggest enemy, because doubt is all around you. Everybody's got doubt.
Everyone.
I don't know. No shot that can happen.
But how do you have like information on how to deal with that?
I like that you understand me so fast already. You said, do you have information instead of advice?
No, because you're right, because advice doesn't sound good when you're like, it doesn't sound good on either. Like, it's just like,
it's tough. I got it from Will Smith and it stuck. He said, when you give advice, you're basically telling people the way you did it and telling them that this is how you got to do it to kind of get like me. And when he said it, I was like, damn, that's kind of real. Like I've done that. I'm guilty of that, of giving advice to get where I am. Right. And that's not the way. So information is just different.
It's like, do with it what you will. Yeah,
exactly. You take it and put it in your pocket or not. It's your choice. Mm-hmm. For me, with doubt, I believe that the way I see things for myself are completely different from the way anybody else can see it. Right. And there's such a passion that I speak with when I speak about what I want to do. Mm. There's passion because I believe that
you
I can do
it. You believe in it.
I believe it.
And you believe in it.
So when I say these things, the doubt comes from people who can't see what I see, who don't believe what I believe. And I can't knock you for that. There's no reason why you should. There's no reason why you should be invested into my thing if you're not a part of my thing. So I've learned to I would say ignore, but also place all of that doubt in a bucket of the same. And when you look at that and you look at the people, there's a type of person that consistently has that and does that. And a lot of those people you find are struggling with taking the step forward in their own lives. And because of that struggle, well, they project it onto others because of that struggle. Mm-hmm. I'm struggling with this, so I want other people should struggle, and here's some of my struggle, right? And you got a choice to take that or not. So the information that I would give in that is, you're making it because you're already outside of the norm.
Right.
You're thinking outside of the box.
Or you might know something that the doubters, they don't know.
Don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
And with that being said, also, there's a no fear to try. Not being afraid to hear no, or to be told, no, this isn't going to work for us. Not being afraid to hear that. That's the separation.
Right.
I'm so comfortable with hearing the word no, or with getting booed, or with people not laughing. I'm so comfortable with it. It doesn't bother me because I go, well, that one didn't work.
But that's probably because you have such a strong background in stand-up, though. I mean, that's all that is, probably.
It probably has a lot to do with it.
A live aspect.
And I also know that I'm never going to get to the funny side of it if I don't go through the unfunny side of it. So how am I going to get to the funny? So if I try to give the funny, and if everybody treats the thing that I'm trying to do as if it's the best, well, then I'm never really going to know.
Right.
But when I'm getting that honest feedback, okay, that's not it. So then when I finally do get the other reactions, I know that I put the work in to get there.
Oh.
So I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable with rejection, because without it, we wouldn't get to the acceptance. We wouldn't get to the oh my God, we love this, right?
Right.
Without a bad movie, we wouldn't know what a good movie
is. Right, right. Or how to fix it to make a
yes, you don't know.
Right, right.
You truly don't know. So you need these things. You need these. You need those moments of quote unquote bad to help you with your quest to good. And that's what I would say. I would say accept it all the way, but don't let it rock you. Mm-hmm. Don't let it change you.
This is Luxury.
And Diallo,
the hosts of One Song. And we'd like to thank the United Soybean Board for the sustainable makeover of our podcast studio and for sparking discussions on greener Hollywood production. Check out the Tears for Fears episode of One Song and see behind-the-scenes clips of how they pulled the whole look together. It's all on at Heartbeat Audio on YouTube, and the link is in our show notes.
A question that I love to ask on here is, you know, who are you influenced by? Who does it for you? Who are you a fan of?
Like growing up, like who are my...
Let's go, whoever, let's go. In this space of entertainment, right? You have so many people that are doing what you now are, and whether it be music, whether it be acting, comedic acting, like who moves the needle for you? Who acts as a impact in this business to you?
A lot of strong women growing up, I guess. I really like Margaret Cho. I mean, obviously.
I know Margaret. She's such a sweet lady.
Yeah. Yeah, she is. She is. I mean, her stand-up was just like, it was like so important for me to see that so young. And then I like seeing like Gina Davis and A League of Their Own.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and you know, Trudy Weigel, Carrie Kenny Silver.
I know Trudy, yes. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't rock me at all. Babe Nora said hi. My wife has no respect for what I do. She has no respect
at all.
That's okay.
No, that's all right.
look, she's still talking back. No respect at all for what I do.
It's all good. No, wife. You know, I don't, yes. It's fine. yeah, I mean, I loved like Margaret Cho's stand-up. I loved stand-up growing up.
I love those names. I mean, those are three amazing names. You know, Margaret, God, what did I do? It was a show maybe about 4 years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I was doing something at a casino, and I think it was Margaret Cho and Sarah Silverman. I was one more comic, and I like hosted it. And I remember her being on the show, and it's like, I haven't seen her perform in a long time. And, you know, I got to see her just live, and I was like, yep, there it is. That's the thing. She's got the thing.
It still goes. From when I was 7 years old to, I went to see her not 2 years ago at I think a casino, and I was dying. I was it was so funny. I mean, your stand up too, obviously.
I love it. I love the conversation that we're having, because, you know, this is what I miss. This is what I missed on the set of Jumanji, because we never had the time to go here or to get here. And, you know, your backstory, just your reason for why and where you are, I think it's important. I think it's important for people to understand the mind of these artists, man, and especially the ones that are making us laugh. And you, my friend, are doing that at a very high level. Let's talk about your show. I want to get into the show. What is the show about? Nora from Queens. You're going into season two, right? This is a big deal. It means you got picked the fuck up, which doesn't happen. After season one, they said, well, give us more. We want a season two. Give me the world of Nora from Queens.
Mm-hmm. The foundation is just based on how I grew up. It's in Queens with my dad and grandma. Mm-hmm. In this case, the same house. And it's basically about kind of how I was when I was living at home. And I was in between jobs, and I didn't really know what to do, what was coming with my life. But then also knowing that I was up against, you know, a world that is telling me what I should do, that and I'm not capable of doing it. You know, like I'm not going to be good at work. Like I'm just, you know, so it, you know, I think it shines a light on a little bit on this kind of millennial conundrum. But also about like kind of the outer borough, existence, right? Mm-hmm. Like there, I grew up with mostly people of color, like minorities. I didn't grow up majority white like some other Asian kids grow up. So I felt like I wanted to shine a light on like what happens, kind of what life is like growing up in Queens.
Who's playing your dad and your grandma? You got two comedians playing your dad and grandma, correct?
Oh yeah, Lori Tanchin. She was I mean, she's very recognizable from Orange is the New Black. And B.D. Wong,
nice.
My dad.
Nice.
Yeah. And we also have Bowen Yang as Cousin Edmund.
Nice. It doesn't get better than that. By the way, very familiar faces. They've been in tons of things. Tons of things. And for Comedy Central, this is a hit, man. And it's good to see that. You know, Comedy Central are partners of mine, have been for quite some time. I did a pilot with them with Bill Burr that never got picked up.
When?
Me and Bill Burr did a pilot. This is like, I don't know, probably 9 years ago. Me and Bill Burr awesome. Did a pilot where we were like, we were friends, and it was a quirky, fun idea. Very, I wish I could get my hands on it so I could show people this pilot between Bill and myself before, you know, we got, of course, to where we are now. It was so good, so funny, but Comedy Central didn't pick it up. But everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a fucking reason. If I had got picked up, then I wouldn't be doing this goddamn podcast, and I wouldn't be doing all the things that I'm doing now. And we have to make sure that we make people aware also, September, Marvel. You got a movie coming out again. Give me the title
September
once again.
3rd.
Give me the title.
Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. How do you feel about this world of Marvel, like being embedded in it? Where are they strict? Are they like, you know, what you can do, can't do, what you can talk about, can't talk about? Like when it comes to the marketing, like, do you got to give a crazy amount of time to go and market? How's this been?
You know, I think, you know, definitely there, it's a very secretive world in terms of spoilers and like the information that you can give out. So that there has to be a degree of care there, but I will say it is a very free environment. Well, when you're filming, it's very utopian. Mm-hmm. The crafty is great, for instance. You know, and you know, it's great. French hours. I love all the crafty. So it's really great in that way. There's a big feel to it, but also I think there's time to make it small and intimate. You know, like work with the characters, and that's definitely, our director was awesome.
How long did you guys shoot for?
We shot, I guess, between 4 and 6 months, something like that. Yeah.
Jeez. And where'd you guys shoot at?
Sydney. Australia.
Sydney, okay. Yeah. Australia's amazing. Love
Australia. You like it? Where's your favorite part of Australia?
Love.
Yeah, Australia's fun, man.
I would say I am big on the Gold Coast, right?
Yeah.
And here's why. Gold Coast is a little slower. So Byron Bay, Brisbane. I mean, when you say Sydney, you say Melbourne. I love Australia in general. Perth. I can tell you every single part. There's Australia. For me, as a touring comic, has always been my biggest international market. Like, I think I did probably like 150,000 people in Australia.
What?
Yeah, when we toured in Australia.
That's crazy.
Between all of the Australia, my love for Australia is ridiculous. I don't get no fucking water though. I don't get no goddamn water out there.
What?
The water is fucking insane.
You don't get.
It's a lot of shit.
You don't go.
It's a lot of shit out there in Australia. It's a lot of shit out there. Everything in Australia can kill you, Nora. Okay.
Yes, they can, but they have beautiful beaches.
No, amazing beaches, okay? But they got shit out there that can fucking kill you.
You just out in the sand? Listen, do you even go onto the beach?
No, I was on the sand one day and it was like washed up jellyfish that were like on the beach. They were called blue bottles or some shit like that. And I'm like, yo, what the fuck is that? And I was like, oh, it's a dead jellyfish. And I was like, what? Why is it on the beach? Like, they just wash up on the beach like that? They're like, yeah, that's how they die. Well, so they in the water? So they out there? Oh, my God. That's enough for me. Eric Ganji, the deadly jellyfish that's the size of your fucking finger. shark. Oh, my God. I can go down the list. Brown
they
snakes.
They do. They do have some crazy spiders there.
Brown
too,
snakes.
Well.
They got fucking brown snakes out there, which are killer snakes. They got the fucking red back spider. Everything in Australia can kill you. It's the most dangerous country ever. And I don't understand how they're so comfortable with that. Everybody's comfortable with that.
Yeah, I guess they're good at, you know, capturing a spider.
Did you go, like, did you do the beaches and all that shit? You hung out?
Yeah, I did. I hung out a lot, actually. Yeah.
You didn't fucking have any run-ins with the wildlife out there?
I saw a kangaroo.
That's it. That's okay.
From afar.
Okay. In the city? Were, yeah. You were in Sydney? Wait, where did you see? Oh my
we
God.
We went up.
Oh, I would have shit it myself.
We went up to a place called Parramatta. Oh. There was like fields with them. And also the birds are so beautiful too.
Yeah, birds are beautiful till they fucking attack you. They can pick up people. Jesus Christ. I can't believe you.
Talking about the swoopy
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, the fucking swooping birds.
The swooping.
Yeah, to come in and fucking pick my little
you
ass
have,
up.
You have a warning with every animal, with every
yeah, every I just don't fuck with animals, man. In Australia,
no, it's all good. That's okay.
Australia is the place where they have it. It's just a lot of shit out there. I mean, the fucking kangaroos. It was cool until I started seeing the videos of like the real strong ones, the kangaroos that are on steroids.
Oh, yeah.
Those kangaroos. I don't fuck with them. I don't like that at all. Jesus Christ. Can't believe it.
Yeah.
Can't even believe that you're just comfortable with doing it. Nora, all good things come to an end. And unfortunately, this conversation, it has to come to an end. It has to. I don't want it to, but it has to, man. And for my audience, the beauty of us doing these amazing goddamn interviews and having this amazing dialogue is for you guys to leave with a better understanding than what you came in with. And I'm going to say I am leaving with such a strong understanding of who you are, and what you are about to be. And I love that you are intact with your mental. I love that you are concerned about you at this point in your career and conscious of that, and not just conscious of the work, because it's hard to do that. And I would say early in my career, I definitely didn't have that level of understanding that you put on display today. And, you know, it's so important to just have the self, the understanding for self, the want for self to be in control and be okay, because this monster that we're in, it can fucking grab you. And if it grabs you the right way, goddamn it won't let go. And I just love where your head is. And I'm so happy for you, so proud of you, and all the success that you're having, everything that's come your way. Well-deserved. Work hard. You fucking work hard, and it's paying off, man. It's fucking paying off.
Thanks,
for you.
Kevin.
I mean it. Super, super dope.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being head. I can't have you if you don't come on and you don't want to be head.
No,
this is mutual.
I'm here, dude. You're such a pleasure all around. I've never laughed that hard on a podcast ever.
it's exactly what I told you it would be. And I know when we start talking, you're like, hey, man, Kev, what is this shit? I ain't trying to do no shit, man. Don't have me talk about no shit. Like I said, no, Nora, it's so easy. It's just a regular conversation as if we are.
It really was. It really was. And you're right. We never really got the chance to talk on Jumanji, so I'm glad we got the chance now.
This is huge. This is big.
You're awesome.
Guys, do not forget Nora from Queens, season 2, man, Comedy Central. It's a big deal, okay? Also, if you're not familiar with her work, goddamn it, go back and go watch Crazy Rich Asians so you can see what I saw, which is the beginning of where all of this fucking stuff started, which is why she's getting all the work that she also deserves. Such a great presence on camera and such a great presence when it comes to goddamn getting that laugh. You do what you do. You do it very well.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you. Wow.
Guys, this is Comedy Gold Mines, where we do what? Where we get inside the minds of amazing comedians, comedic talent, people who understand funny. And oh my God, what amazing minds they are. And today was no different. Nora Lum, ladies and gentlemen.
Comedy Gold Mines is a SiriusXM and LOL audio production. Executive produced by Kevin Hart, Ty Randolph, and Eric Weil. With Tastemakers Media, Emil Garner, and Ian McDonald.
Hey there. I host a show called Therapy Gecko, where I dress up as a lizard and talk to anonymous strangers from the internet about their lives. They tell me their relationship problems.
I found out that I was related to the guy that I was dating.
Their hobbies.
I collect my roommate's toenails and fingernails.
Their secrets.
When we did not have toilet paper, I would use the shower curtain.
And also sometimes kind of serious stuff.
I have anxiety when I talk to people.
I'm also sometimes joined by celebrity guests like Doja Cat, Lil Yachty, Bobby Lee, and Eric Andre. Some of the more interesting calls we've gotten recently include a guy who argued with a demon living on his wall,
a caller drunk at his job at a middle school, and a caller wondering whether or not he should transform into a dog. So if you're sick of your own life and you want to get lost in the life of a stranger, search for Therapy Gecko wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.